looking to the God from above for salvation, we will surely find it. And we can see that also in the two scripture passages we are now given further to read. First from Isaiah 9, 1 to 7, and then Psalm 103. So let's read first Isaiah 9, 1 to 7, and then we'll read Psalm 103. May God bless just the reading of His holy word to us. Hear the word of God from Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We'll be looking especially at the words in verse 6 about the child who is given and son, child who is born and son who is given, being named also Everlasting Father. But let us go to Psalm 103. Where we also can learn something about the Lord's fatherly mercies to his children. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless us in worship, that we bless the Lord to his praise this day. We want to celebrate the Lord's worth as Savior God as we continue studying different names and titles for Jesus given in the Bible. We're having this little series on that, the names of Jesus, and this morning we have to study a name that is beyond me to tell you its excellence and worth. And yet it's in the Bible for us to glean from and learn from and to be blessed by and with. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is not only, as we've seen so far, the Ancient of Days and the Bread of Life and the Captain of our salvation and the Dayspring from on high, but listen, He's also the Everlasting Father for all His people. Now, how in the world are we to understand this name and title for Jesus? In fact, think of it, how in our text in Isaiah 9, notice all the terms and titles speaking of the same person. Does it make sense to you? See how in this one verse, the promised Messiah is referred to as a child that is born, and as a son who is given to us. And at the same time, He is called Everlasting Father. How do we make sense of this all? Do you understand it? Do you get the true meaning and the rich gospel teaching brought forward here in this text, Isaiah 9, verse 6? May God enlighten us by His Holy Spirit that we grasp and glory in the rich gospel message that we get to hear this morning. Let me mention the whole text again, spoken by Isaiah 700 years about before Jesus' birth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here are four or five different names for Christ. And clearly, as the Church of all ages has rightly interpreted, this text refers to Jesus the Christ. Indisputably, it's primarily and ultimately about Him. The verse mentions too, notice, the zeal of the Lord accomplishing this great event and gift for all mankind. And before we go to look specifically at the name and title, Everlasting Father, just listen with me to this beautiful pastoral counsel on this passage as given by Reformer John Calvin in his commentary. I was so blessed reading it. I thought I have to pass it on to you. And it's in today's bulletin as well for you to read later on. After quoting this verse, Isaiah 9 verse 6, Calvin writes, "Now, to apply this for our instruction, whenever any distrust arises and all means of escape are taken away from us, whenever, in short, it appears to us that everything is in a ruinous condition, let us recall to our remembrance that Christ is called Wonderful because He is inconceivable. He has inconceivable methods of assisting us, and because His power is far beyond what we are able to conceive. When we need counsel, let us remember that He is called Counselor. When we need strength, let us remember that He is mighty and strong. When new terrors spring up suddenly every instant, and when many deaths threaten us from various quarters, let us rely on the eternity of which He is, with good reason, called the Father. And by the same comfort, let us learn to soothe all temporal distresses. When we are inwardly tossed by various tempests, and when Satan attempts to disturb our consciences, let us remember that Christ is the Prince of Peace, and that it is easy for Him quickly to allay or relieve all our uneasy feelings. Thus will these titles confirm us more and more in the faith of Christ, and fortify us against Satan and against hell itself." And when the text adds, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." By zeal, Calvin states further, "I understand that ardent desire which God will display in preserving His church, His people, by removing all difficulties and obstructions which might otherwise have hindered its redemption." Isaiah shows that God is inflamed with an uncommon and extraordinary desire and zeal to promote the salvation of the church, so that if believers cannot measure by their own capacity what He has just now promised, still they ought not to cease to entertain confident hope, for the manner of it is wonderful and inconceivable. In short, Isaiah intimates that God will come with no light or slow arm to redeem his church, for he will be all on flame with amazing love of believers and show all sufficient care about their salvation. Isn't that well said, dear congregation? And doesn't it bring out truly, with Jesus Christ come as Savior of sinners, this is really good news. It's tidings of great joy. But how now do we understand this gospel in its fullness and riches? Yes, how does it show too when people believe this gospel and receive it as true gospel? Yes, especially that Jesus is called now Everlasting Father. Let's focus on that, just that name. The theme for the sermon is Jesus called Everlasting Father. We will cover three main gems in connection with this theme. First, the meaning of this name, really. Second, the rich comfort with this name. And then third, the relevant call and message from this name. What's the real meaning of this name and title for Jesus, the Everlasting Father? How can it be right, even, to call him this name? The question is valid because we know we may not blur or blot out the three distinct persons of the Trinity, as if Jesus is the Father too. In fact, that's even a false teaching in the Christian church that has been condemned by the early church councils. There is a heresy called modalism, which states that the Trinity just means the one God showing himself in different modes, in different ways, as he pleases, sometimes as the Son, sometimes as the Spirit, and sometimes as the Father. But that's wrong teaching. And we have to say, in fact, Isaiah is not referring to the Trinity at all here. We know the doctrine of the Trinity was not fully revealed even, nor understood at this time in biblical redemptive history. But rather, with the promised Messiah here, Jesus Christ being called Everlasting Father, the meaning is more that this is a characteristic about him. He is eternally one like a father. Literally, the Hebrew behind the English translation is a compound word describing the Savior as Father of perpetual duration. The Father through all ages. Or the Father forever. Yes, he's the forever Father. That's what he's like, the forever Father. So really, the English translations have it right, spot on. He's the Everlasting Father. That's one of the promised Messiah's names, and it's so fitting. This is right, as long as we understand this to mean, congregation, that it's a characteristic describing Jesus as Savior in relation to all his people. Jesus is like a most wonderful, tender, caring Father in all generations to his people. Yes, it's like as we read in Psalm 103, verse 13 especially. As a father pities his children, so the Lord, yes, in and through Jesus Christ, as Savior of sinners, he pities those who fear him. Interestingly, we read in Isaiah 63:16, if you want to look it up, Isaiah 63:16, God's believing people in his day, testifying in repentance and faith before the Lord, Isaiah 63:16, doubtless you are our father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer. From everlasting is your name. And the meaning here is that in and through Christ, the promised Messiah, God's everlastingly fatherly love and care is shown us and can and will always be shown to all those who trust and follow him. One commentator summarizes this all well, saying the following: with the coming Messiah being called also the Everlasting Father, the reference to Father here should not be taken to mean that the Messianic King will be the first person in the Trinity in his human appearance. Rather, the emphasis is on the character he bears, and the manner in which he, speaking of Jesus Christ, the long-promised Savior, in which he cares for his children with father-like compassion and tenderness. For all eternity, he will deal with his children as a loving Father. Here to really to grasp the meaning of Jesus being given also this name, the Everlasting Father, all of us surely need to realize how God in Christ alone can be like a father to us. Do you know how? It's really the whole message of the Bible, isn't it? God is the author of our life, and we speak of God the Father and our creation. And in the beginning, we know, with Adam and Eve, God made us good. He made us perfect. He made us fully able and willing to serve God and to live to His glory in true love to Him and to our fellow man and for all God's handiwork. But we know, as told in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve fell into sin and rebelled against His good Father. And instead, we listened to the devil, doubting God. And as a result, the whole of mankind has now come under the curse and the bondage of sin left to ourselves. Jesus speaks in John 8 even about the natural man having the devil as their father. And so it is for all of us, you and me too, on our own. We have disowned God and live by nature in rebellion and alienation against God. And how alone can that relationship be restored? How can sinners like us be reconciled to God again and become His dear, recreated, redeemed, adopted children once more? It's only through the promised Messiah of Isaiah 9, verse 6, and His coming to serve as perfect mediator and savior of sinners. So we know Jesus as the just for the unjust before God His Father, as the second Adam. He lived that perfect, sinless life all the time He was on earth, that we were called to live, that we didn't live and don't live. And at the same time, He suffered the curse and punishment for sin as substitute for sinners. Now, this is familiar news to us. And yet, you know, it's the heart of the gospel, which we can never forget and need to hear again and again. And every text, this is the neat thing about the Bible, every text will shed its own light on this heartbeat gospel truth. For example, the text before us now. Think of it. Just think of it. How Jesus, who is God's only begotten Son from eternity, God of gods, that He would be given by the Father to serve as Savior, even to the death on the cross, that we might know and be blessed in and with the fatherly love of God for us in all our needs and situations in life. Imagine that. We deserve only to be cast off forever by God as wicked rebels against Him time and again. But behold the love of God in sending His Son, and the love of God in Jesus willing to come to serve as Savior of sinners, even for such as you and me. Our text, Isaiah 9, verse 6, is proclaimed as good news and tells us God is most zealous about it. Gospel tidings for undeserving sinners. Imagine Jesus being zealous about us knowing and experiencing something of the tender love of God that Jesus Himself knew from all eternity. He left His Father's home in heaven. He dwelt in this sin-cursed world. He gave His life a ransom for many that you and I might know and rejoice in the love of God in Christ Jesus. We know from other scriptures there was an eternal counsel and plan in the Godhead where Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, also pledged to God the Father He would give Himself and do whatever it takes to save His elect people from all eternity. Psalm 40, for example, testifies that the Lord Jesus was most willing to do the will of God concerning this matter. He would readily drink from the Father's cup of wrath that we might be given the cup of blessing. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross of Golgotha, especially too, Jesus, we know, would suffer. He would suffer even the God, His Father, forsaking Him, leaving Jesus all alone as sin bearer on that cursed tree, as the Savior suffered and endured all the righteous torments of God's divine wrath on sin, for sin on behalf of His people. And this is what is behind this fourth saying from the cross. When Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That wasn't a question Jesus himself didn't know the answer to. But he asks it in his agony that we might know something of the depths he went through for sinners like you and me to save. So when our text in Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this too, that this too is a name that Jesus bears, Everlasting Father. Congregation, if we see it rightly, we see it as a name given him dripped in his blood. It's dripped in his blood. This name, Everlasting Father, that he might so truly live out this name for us and be Everlasting Father to us. And shouldn't this move us then, congregation, to the depths? Thinking not only of this name, but how much it cost the Lord Jesus to have it included in Isaiah 9 verse 6 as one of his blessed gospel names. Here, listen to what one study Bible note says about this name, the Everlasting Father. Quote, "The coming King possesses divine eternity. He is from ancient times, and he will not need a successor to follow in his footsteps." No, because you see, in and through his salvation work, he may and remains forever. He may be and remains the Everlasting Father of his people. Ancient kings often refer to themselves as the fathers of their subjects. Well, this name, Everlasting Father, reveals the divine, eternal care and keeping the coming King, our Heavenly Father, will have and be for his people. Well, just telling all this and explaining the real meaning of this name as we have tried to do, doesn't it bless your heart and warm you too in your mind? But consider next this other gem, the great comfort that is in this name for us. This is the second point we want to focus on. To learn the rich comfort in this name, just reflect more with me on the names Everlasting Father. Don't we live in a fallen and temporary world where we painfully experience nothing seems to be everlasting? You know, often we can have the frustration that what is comparatively worthless keeps lasting far longer than what is more or less quite worthwhile to us. Like, for instance, your car. Your car, so worthwhile and necessary to you, may keep breaking down on you to the point you are ready to get rid of it, while your old alarm clock just keeps working without a problem for decades even. But that is with things. But what about with relationships? We have most precious relationships that we painfully experience as not everlasting here on earth. While sometimes so close and even distant relationships with others may, not so close and distant relationships with others may continue without end, it seems. Some of you know about loving relationships not lasting here. But now think of joining together the relationship of a father to his children. And think of the best of fathers, the best of relationships that way. And that never coming to an end. I mean, doesn't that sound exciting and appealing to you too? Here, as others have noted, when speaking of fathers, the term brings all kinds of different thoughts and emotions in us, doesn't it? As one put it, few words in any language evoke the kind of feelings we have when we hear the word father. Some of us will feel a sense of loss this end-of-year season, again, either because we had fathers who were wonderful but are no longer with us, or because we have unfulfilled longings for the kind of father we've never had. However, listen, when you hear this about Jesus being named also the Everlasting Father, shouldn't this adjective everlasting before the noun and description of him as Father, and Jesus, and knowing Jesus is only always the most fatherly person, the best of fathers there ever could be in all the world, doesn't that give reason for God's people to jump for joy? with this name for him. It's true today, isn't it? All too often, as another said, sadly, the word father doesn't always bring to mind someone who shepherds and affirms and stays close in love and care and understanding towards us. Instead, it connotes adjectives like someone distant, aloof, passive, absent, unreliable, selfish, uncaring, and cruel. Even among Christian families, for too many children, far too many experience emotional indifference and self-centered neglect from their dads. But listen, Jesus, as everlasting Father to his people, isn't he the best of the very best? And isn't it most wonderful good news, his relationship as everlasting Father to his people? His relationship is constant as Father. It's never ending. It's always true. It's always sure. It's always loving and caring forevermore. It's the blessed reality of all who trust and follow him, who repent of sin and believe on him. Do you know what Jesus said in John 14:6? As Savior on the way to the cross, he said the night before his crucifixion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can know God's fatherly love and care except through me. So we can experience congregation and enjoy the one true God as everlasting Father to us and for us, always only in and through Jesus Christ, trusting him as only Savior and Lord. In and through Christ and his finished salvation work as Savior, Paul declares in Romans 8, verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, just imagine this. Think about this, that you and I, we may, in and through Christ, know the fatherly, tender care of God, now and forever. Even the care of him who is also wonderful counselor, almighty God, and Prince of Peace. Imagine a father, always just so most wise and loving and good and understanding and gracious and kind and ever capable to help you in your every need and struggle and care in soul and body, in life and death. Everlasting Father, what a rich comfort in this name. Psalm 103 shows the Father always forgiving for his name's sake, always understanding, and always enduring as dear Father to his people. And it gets richer when we learn of Jesus' relationship with his own Heavenly Father from everlasting to everlasting. Think of it. No father ever has loved his son with such perfect, everlasting, pure love, most fulfilling and caring and joyful, as God the Father with his only begotten Son. And no son ever has such a treasured, delightful love bond with his Father as Jesus always has and ever will have with his Father. And now Jesus comes to have us enjoy and come to know that love, that fatherly love. As the Father, this is an amazing verse, John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide or continue in my love, he says there. We know, don't we, the Father's love to his Son is measureless, boundless, and endless, and was always Jesus' pure strength and joy and comfort in his life. And now, in and through Jesus Christ, for all coming to trust him, we so may know the Father and the Father's care and love of the Lord, yes, for his people, so rich beyond words to tell. Oh, dear congregation, to be recipient of this fatherly love from God in and through Christ Jesus means to be forever under his divine, delightful, dedicated, tender care and almighty protection and endless provision. Without a doubt, trusting and following this Savior of Isaiah 9, verse 6, you and I will be forever safe and satisfied, and can be so secure for now and for eternity. The Lord Jesus is everlastingly as dear Heavenly Father to us in all our needs for His own name's sake. This is the precious gospel truth, and its measure of comfort and value is endless and priceless. And it's still the free offer of the gospel, isn't it? For all who have ears to hear. Also here in this place, and everywhere, yes, in the whole wide world. And to see this more, let's move yet to our last thought on our text, this last gem, the relevant call and message with this name. And the call and message with this title for Jesus, the Everlasting Father, is clearly that all of us here also, and whoever will hear, so come to know Him and cherish Him and trust and follow Him and enjoy Him and love and serve Him. And isn't this a relevant call, especially in our times, perhaps as never before, when there's so much family breakdown and so tragic confusion about the role and the place of fathers, and where there's so much, so much loneliness and trauma and trouble all around us. It seems also, no matter which way you turn, we hear about it and we see it. Has society, as we find it in our world, in our present day, especially in the Western post-secular Christian world of our times, has it ever been in such a low and helpless, miserable state as we find it today? How much brokenness and sadness and trouble and tears and more tears is present everywhere, also especially in homes and in families where it's all broken and messed up. So much family is filled with disaster. Or so much disappointment. But listen, God in Christ will serve as a father to the fatherless and to bring hope and help even to the most undeserving in their most needy of situations. You know, in the time of Isaiah 9, things were dark also for the people of God. The context is, in Isaiah's time, one of increasing trouble and sorrow and terrifying threat from the enemy nations all around. It was looming on the horizon for the people of Israel and Judah. But in view of these realities, and considering His name also, the promised Messiah's name, being called Everlasting Father, should any, as one said, be called upon to face depths of grief that are unfathomable, dangers that are insuperable, or darkness that is impenetrable, or a dilemma that is unsolvable, or a disease that is incurable, or duties that are undesirable, or a district of service that is uninhabitable, or a sin history that is unforgettable. Remember, God is immutable, and His everlasting arms as the everlasting Father are underneath all who trust and follow Him as only Savior and Lord. So the relevant call of our text, therefore, is to find refuge with this promised Messiah, so beautifully described for us in our text. God will be for you and me as the everlasting Father in and through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. Jesus came to earth to make known, to show forth the Father's love to us in and through Him. And you know, the best love a father can have is nothing compared to the eternal love and care we find trusting and following after Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Jesus came to teach us what true love is. As sinners, we don't know what true love is. We don't know it. But Jesus came to show it. He came to show this love even to those who are His enemies by nature. He has come to make sons and daughters of God through His finished work on sinners' behalf, even for the worst of rebels. For as many as confess their sin and repent and rely on Him. As another put it, once we become a child of Christ, we are His, and He is ours forever. The everlasting Father, for us and with us. You'll never have to say goodbye to Him. I read about Tim Challis just a couple weeks ago. He went to Zambia for a trip. He came home. His dad called him in the morning. Hey, glad you're home. You have a good trip. I'll call you later tonight. And then a little while later, a call from his sister, Dad's gone. He died. We don't have our dads forever here, even most loving dads. No, nothing's forever here. But Jesus is the everlasting Father, the good everlasting Father. And nothing in all creation will separate us from His love, not even death itself. Indeed, it only brings us nearer to him. Isn't then this name and title for Jesus' congregation, the Everlasting Father, one for us to prize for ourselves and one to reach out with to others? I mean, think again of so many homeless, fatherless, loveless, hopeless people in our society today. Not just in the world out there, but even within the church in our land. The world lost in sin is full of sinners in a hopeless mess and misery, except for the good news of the gospel that a Savior is born into this world in the fullness of time. And he is great and greatly to be praised. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it's not just empty, vain talk. No, for the text goes on to say, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there's reason, congregation, for enthusiasm and encouragement in gospel outreach within our families and outside our families, within our churches and outside our churches. For the prophet Isaiah goes on to declare further, of the increase of his government there shall be no end. Yes, God will take care of this for his church and kingdom to prosper and to expand just as foreordained till the last day. And says Isaiah further, let's not forget the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, we can forever count on it. His word and his promises and his strength and his supplies in living unto the Lord for his praise and glory in all our ways. And the Lord blessing that in his sovereign grace and providence. Oh, don't you think, and don't you find this also very splendid and good, encouraging news then for us also this morning? The Bible does warn us, doesn't it? In fact, many times over, to despise this precious gospel is really something very serious. Yet all too many still do so, don't they? How sad that among God's covenant people too, of old and still today, too often there is far too little appreciation for the one and only timeless gospel message. In Malachi 1 verse 6, we read the prophets say in God's name to the wayward and worldly covenant people of his day, quote, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I then, I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Would that be a text that someone here maybe this morning really needs to hear? Are you despising God's name? Who of us doesn't really all too often still, if we are honest? How much we will all have to answer for hearing so rich gospel message time and again from God's word and yet never truly repenting of sin and really being converted to God. Is the Savior most wonderful and yet you see no beauty in him? Is he counselor and yet you won't go for his infinite wisdom, but foolishly go in your own ways? Is he almighty God, but you think you can despise him and reject him and you're okay? Is he everlasting father, but you care not to be part of his eternal family and you scorn his loving, urgent call to be converted before it's forever too late? Is he the Prince of Peace and yet you stubbornly continue in hostility and revolt against him and think, you'll never have to answer for it. Oh, that today, beloved, all here without exception would find their refuge in and with the Christ of Scripture, while he still offers freely and abundantly pardons peace to all who come to him. He will be everlasting Father to whoever cries to him, turning to God in Christ and following after him by his Spirit and Word. We don't follow someone that's a lifeless idol, or a cold, incapable, temporary, tyrant, harsh, impersonal being. No, but we follow him who is called in the Bible, Everlasting Father. Yes, in a most dear relationship of tender love and care, he will lead us all for Jesus' sake alone, that we might enjoy him immensely here already, and hereafter incredibly so forevermore. Well, let me end saying, no sin or sinner looking to Jesus can exhaust God's boundless fatherly love in Christ Jesus, nor ever paralyze the success of his gospel cause and church and kingdom till the last day. No, for Jesus is, remember, also the everlasting Father, for whoever has ears to hear still today. Let us not be doubting it, but trusting it, and declaring it, and demonstrating it in word and deed, God helping us. For yes, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Praise God for his Son, and for the eternal salvation love bond in Christ Jesus, that he is named also the everlasting Father for us. Oh, blessed be his name. Amen.